Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
A very good afternoon to you and a warm welcome to Friday's edition of Spectrum. A big thank you to Omi Han Els for taking us all the way until 4 o'clock. And so I get to drive you further home. Hopefully you're not stuck in traffic. It must be one of the worst. I think I shared this yesterday, that the other day I was stuck in a bit of traffic in Kempton Park, only to find out that I had a wheel puncture. And but I'm grateful to motorists that said to me, hey, please take note of your tire. So if you're in that situation as well right now, you're stuck in traffic, I hope that we can take you straight home. It is Friday, of course, and every other second Friday we deal with all matters law in our communities, and that's the police actually that maintain law and order. I know we always think, and just yesterday, by the way, we were talking with Mr. Siakamela about how we need to allow the law to take its course. But before we get to the courts, there is a first phase that we get to, and that's the police. Those are the doors that we get to knock at when we have issues, be it in our households, in stores. If you decide to go and steal, that's where you're going to land up. And all these other places. So the first pit stop is the police. And the perfect person just for that is none other than Marinda Austin. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you so very much. It's always an honor to be here.
It is indeed.
Thank you very
also
much.
Also to have you. Absolute pleasure, I must say. And just opening up to our eyes to things we've always thought we knew.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you think, I know how the police work, I know how things go, until you're confronted with an issue and you get a mind block on that day.
Yeah, and then you don't know what to do. Don't know who to call, you don't know where to go, you don't know anything.
And you don't even know the 10111 number.
Because you are nervous and you are traumatized, and then, what must I do now?
Yeah.
What is the next thing to do?
Exactly. Listen, Marinda, 2 weeks ago, we touched a lot on issues pertaining to protection orders, if you remember.
Yes.
And I think our conversation was very clear that one of the things that leads to that are issues such as harassment and domestic violence.
Yes.
But I think it's important for us to go back to that a little bit before we expand more on our subject today. Maybe if you can give a clear picture to us on what domestic and the Harassment Act are exactly.
The Domestic Violence Act is an act where we are, for an example, married,
mm-hmm.
and we are abused in that marriage.
Okay.
The Harassment Act is specifically for people that is not related to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But on both of these acts, you can get a protection order.
Okay.
Yes.
I want us to go back to, you used the word, the umbrella word abused. And I was actually just thinking about it, that, you know, you touched on various forms of abuse even. Because one is thinking, when I'm beaten up. But I remember you saying, it's more complex than that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. So when is it safe for me to then go get this, protection order? When do I know I'm actually domestically abused or harassed? What amounts to that?
If I can just give you some information on the application form,
okay.
of a protection order. You are
right.
asking what types of abuse are there
yeah.
to apply for a protection order.
Yes.
Now, there is a lot of them.
Okay.
There is physical abuse, mm-hmm. sexual abuse, emotional or verbal abuse, economic abuse,
mm-hmm.
intimidation, harassment, sexual harassment, related person abuse,
okay.
spiritual abuse, damage to property, elder abuse, abusive behavior, degrading behavior, controlling behavior, exposure of a child to domestic violence,
okay.
intimidating behavior, threatening behavior, offensive behavior, and humiliating. Ah, that word.
I know. It's mean characteristic.
So it's a lot. I mean,
yeah.
that is, or everything is falling under abuse on the Domestic Violence Act.
I just learned something also, that exposing a child
yeah.
to domestic abuse
yeah.
is actually, I can get a protection
yeah.
order on that.
So for an example, I am a mother, we have two children, and you are abusing me in front of my children.
Mm.
So if I go and apply for this protection order, it is not just for me. It is for me and the two children.
And the children.
Yeah, I always say to the mothers, for an example, if you apply, it is not only you.
Yes.
You must take the children in consideration because they are exposed to it.
Exactly.
Even if they are just there in the room hearing all of this.
Mm.
I mean, you don't need to see. Even
exactly.
if you just hear these things, what your mommy and daddy is doing, you are
you
traumatized.
You need to be protected from
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And mommy can definitely put your name on the application
wow.
so that you also be protected against that abuse.
I'm so glad that you make mention of that, Miranda, because oftentimes we find really traumatized children
yeah.
from these cases, and we always say, no, the abuse was to the mom and not to them,
mm-hmm.
but we don't realize the effects, the traumatic effects it has on them as well.
It is very bad. I am working very long with children
mm.
in this particular community, and you can see the behavior of a child in school.
Yes.
What
yes.
the teachers pick up, the behavior of the child, for an example, how the child is acting.
Yes.
You can see something is wrong.
True.
And from a conversation there with the teacher and the child, it is abuse.
Here's the nice part, though, in this conversation with Miranda. If you're listening right now and you are experiencing this, you just don't know where to start. She's about to take us through the form. Yeah, so how does it look like? Because I noticed there's different forms. It's not just one form. Because I'm thinking I just get them, sign one form, and I'm protected.
It's a process.
This is
a process. But
yeah.
I just want to say specific things about the application for the protection order on the Domestic Violence Act.
Okay.
You know, if you think I am abused
mm.
and I don't want to go and get a protection order. I'm too scared. I don't want to go to the police, etc.
Mm.
On your behalf, a caregiver,
oh.
a counselor, an educator, a family member, healthcare professional,
hmm.
medical practitioner, an official in public health establishment, a related person, a social worker, or a police official can apply for a protection order on your behalf.
Oh.
Yes. So it is not.
And then serve it to the person.
Yes. But oh. if you are through with this process, it comes to the police and the police serve it on that person. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you're the only person that has to do it because you
no.
now have to go open a case, really.
That is why I just want to stay a minute on this application. Because
mm.
you get people that is, I can't do this. I don't want to go to the police. I have to stay here. I have to be abused
yeah.
every day.
And they don't understand. That's fear speaking
yeah.
as well.
But now you tell my friend or whoever, and that friend can go on behalf of you to get a protection order. And
oh.
that is very much important because most of our mothers, you know, they are being abused and they don't want
true,
to do something.
True.
But just important is that someone else can apply
oh.
for a protection order on your behalf.
I think you actually mentioned earlier on as well abuse to elderly people.
Yes.
And now that you're saying that, I'm thinking of how we can actually protect those elderly
yeah.
people who can't necessarily get up and go get protection orders
yeah.
for themselves.
Yeah. Hmm. We have specific cases, for an example, of harassment maybe.
Okay.
Mother and father is old. I mean, 70, 80 years old. Somebody is harassing them. The son or the daughter-in-law or somebody like that.
Oh.
They can go on behalf of this old people and
oh.
go and get a protection order, either on the Domestic Violence or the Harassment Act.
Does this mean they take us through the process again? Do I have to go open a case for this particular person harassing them, then proceed to go do a protection order?
There is a difference.
Okay.
You can do a protection order and you can open a criminal case. You
oh.
can do both.
Oh.
You can do both. But if I can just say maybe something on the fact that a protection order, according to me, is sometimes better than opening a case.
Immediately.
Yeah. And
okay.
a protection order is a thing that you can get quickly. You complete the
mm.
form, you go to court, it is handed to you, and you can go and serve it.
True.
Where a docket, I'm it can drag. The docket. It must go to the detectives. It must go here. We must do this. We must do that. And that is time consuming.
Exactly.
Where a protection order is, it is 3 days and you've got that thing and it's been served. You know, and the victim can apply immediately for it. It's not something that you have to wait for.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, you can open a criminal case if you want to. I mean, there is people that is being abused.
True.
Going to hospital very badly. But open a criminal case and a protection order to protect yourself.
I get you entirely. I get you entirely. To say, especially in the case where, you remember last week we spoke about how you need to go as early as possible before more damage is done as well. So that you're protected.
Yeah.
Your dignity as well is really taken into account.
Yeah.
Don't wait for him to hit you. Then you're like, I know he's not abusing me. He just shouts at me.
And it's just very important to say, I can see your eyes is blue by hitting you and your arm is broken. But what is going on in your mind? What is going on in your heart?
Exactly.
I can't see. I always say there's no bandage for a heart. And it is your heart that you need to protect.
Exactly.
I mean, a broken arm can heal.
Exactly.
But to heal your heart in an abuse relationship takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And a lot of courage.
Yeah. That's so true. Sure. So I see we've got two forms. I think let's go through the process, like you said. So what happens now? I'm abused, and let's say I want to apply myself, or somebody wants to apply for me.
Okay, so I have said now the people that can apply on your behalf. I have mentioned that now on the Domestic Violence Act.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can just say, the person who is committing this act against you, it can be your boyfriend, girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, your brother, your sister, your husband.
And this one is under the Domestic Violence Act.
Under the Domestic Violence Act.
Okay.
And it's a lot. Current co-resident, ex-co-resident in the past year, ex-husband, ex-wife, ex-partner, parent of a child. And then you've got the in-laws, mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law. Then you've got the stepmother, father, sister, brother. So there's a lot of them. And then it's the wife, daughter, son, mother. I mean, anybody just mentioned now is the suspect in this case, for an example now.
Okay.
So for domestic violence, it's against all of these people. But in the Harassment Act,
it's the general public.
Yeah, it's the general public.
Oh,
we do have no connection to each other. It's like I always say, it's the gentleman next door that don't like me. but
domestic is very immediate.
It's your very immediate family. And then just the information regarding the acts of domestic violence, I need to just make one thing clear. People is abusing the system. The reason why I say that is, I am behaving this way, you are behaving that way. I go to court and I tell this story, you go to court and you tell that story. But somewhere we want to damage each other. So
it's not about the true facts.
Yeah. So if you make use of this system of a protection order,
those
domestic violence or the harassment, it is a court. Don't misuse this process.
Yeah.
Be honest. Give all the facts. And that is what I have experienced. Is that people is not honest in the court process.
They just want to get back at each other.
And that is not good. So is definitely one of the very best things that we can have in domestic violence. But people is misusing this.
Yeah.
And my concern is just to say, please be honest, be real. Don't go to the court just because I broke the door. I mean, you must have a few facts
to get this
document.
You're actually reminding me of something you made mention last week. Like you're saying that sometimes it's a case of something that can be resolved. And there are certain, I remember you said there are certain clauses, so to speak, to these protection orders. Mm. So people need to understand them as well.
Yeah.
Don't just think, I've gotten back at you. Yeah. Look at also the conditions of the protection order, what they say.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and the conditions can say a lot of things, né?
Exactly.
I mean, there is a lot of things that you can say in this document now that must not be done by this specific person.
Oh. Okay.
You give all your information as you can give it to the court as most as possible.
I see also in one of the forms there's a question of, are you still staying in the same place as the respondent?
Yes.
I think if we can touch on that again, because last week we also spoke about it doesn't mean the other person needs to move out where the protection order is done.
Yeah.
Because the terms vary.
Yeah. Hmm. So it is true, we can still stay with each other.
Okay.
And there's a protection order, so you cannot do specific things.
Mm.
But then you also have this incidents where the court tell you, take your things and go.
Okay.
So you have to go now. I mean, I am serving this document on you. You are the suspect in this case. Please take your things and go.
And leave.
And leave.
Oh.
Then there is also, please don't come in my room.
Oh.
Please don't come in my room. You also have that.
But we can be in the same space, just don't come into my personal space.
And then others don't come to the office or the school for simple things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I also have to just mention that is very much important is the fact that people is having firearms.
And that's a scary one.
Yeah. And sometimes they are using this firearms. And people think, okay, now he's having a firearm, he's having a license. Okay, that is fine. But this protection order can give the police the authority to go and take the firearm. And then we can take further steps. I mean, a firearm is a very dangerous thing. And you cannot threaten somebody with a firearm. So on your protection order, you can ask, take the firearms.
Oh.
Yes, because we have incidents where, you know, people has been threatened with a firearm. So
is it possible that some people don't report because they're afraid that this person has a firearm?
Yes.
So even if I report the person and there's a protection order, but they're going to come and shoot me one of these days.
Yeah, that can happen.
So you mustn't omit the information that there is a firearm.
No, you must. Afraid. Even if you think it's a toy gun or something, mention it. I mean, I can take a knife.
Exactly.
A knife is a dangerous weapon. Mm. But that is things that the court needs to know.
Mm.
It's a knife or it is a bat or whatever. But be honest on your document so that the court have the whole picture of why do you want this protection order.
You're actually reminding me, Miranda, when you say a knife. This one time, a couple of months ago, my sister sent me a text. The boyfriend had pulled out a knife on her for the first time ever. And I thought when she stayed a bit long, I thought, this one's never going to leave. End of the month, she was out of that place.
Oh,
that was the end of the relationship. That was the end.
On the end of the day, you must protect yourself.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for people that is married. Don't get me wrong now.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
The most important in this whole situation is
your
yourself. It's your life.
Your
it's
life.
You, yourself.
Mm.
So, yes, things can change. It is possible. But as I say, a protection order is just holding you a little bit in the way. You know, don't go this way, don't go that way.
Yeah.
Stay like this.
But also know when to really protect and prioritize your life.
Yes, yes.
That's true.
Indeed.
Okay.
Then I just also want to say something on the electronical communication.
Oh, okay.
You know?
There's that aspect as well.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
You know, I won't slap you through your face or I won't break the door, but I will go on Facebook and tell the whole world, oh, you are the worst person ever.
Mm.
Now, that is also in the protection order. You can also ask for that.
Oh.
That on social media, that person have no right to say anything. And we have cases like that. I mean, people can get really mad and do very dumb things.
I've seen
especially on social media, taking a picture here, taking a picture there, and write this very bad messages for the whole world to see.
Mm.
So if you are applying, please keep that in mind, that because That's the easiest thing to do, is go and badmouth you on social media.
True, true. And in that case, is that the only remedial action? I just need to make sure I get a protection order, or is there a case that can be opened in that regard?
You can open a case, but
Okay. But like you're saying, it helps you to then go back and report once that protection order has been violated.
Yeah. Especially if we talk about social media, the protection order is the best thing to have.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
And then maybe if I can just say, if you are having this application form now, you have given us all the information, you go to court. There's a domestic violence court. Mm-hmm. It is in Pretoria Street, 319. It is at the Pret Met building on the second floor. You go with this application form, it's like a court.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You go and see a judge, you explain your situation, you get your document.
All right.
You'll get an interim protection order. It's not the final order. It's an interim protection order.
So how different is it from the other, from the final one?
No difference.
Okay.
Because if I serve you with this interim document, mm-hmm. it is a working document as from the time that you signed for that. And then you go through this process, because I have told my story. Mm-hmm. But you can also come to court and tell your story.
Okay.
And then they can give the final order. And this is not a thing that expires, as mm-hmm. I said the previous time.
Mm.
This is a thing that is staying in place to keep you safe.
Now tell me, Miranda, something I was just thinking about. What happens when the police are going to serve this protection order, and the perpetrator does not want to sign it? Is that a common one?
It's a common thing.
Let me ask, because I've heard of people. I remember an incident of a gentleman, but I think it was on TV. He took it and he tore it apart in the face
of
the police.
I'm not signing for this. This is a lie. There's a lot of that happening. And then in cases like this, I will usually give a statement. As the police, and say, I went. This gentleman refused to sign, or this lady refused to sign. They tear up the papers, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then still the complainant go to court and they will get the final order. But there's a lot of them.
So the interim will still be in place, even if you didn't sign.
Still be in place.
So there's nothing clever about that.
No.
In fact, you're prejudicing yourself, because now you won't know the conditions of your protection order.
Exactly.
Because you never read it. You tore it
apart.
Exactly.
But I didn't do this, and this is a lie, etc. But make sure you know what is the fact, so that if you go to court, okay, this is what she said, I am saying this. So it is,
because you're not going to be handed another one to know what she said.
Exactly. But you have to go to court. So the date I always give you.
Oh.
There's a date that you must appear in court.
Even if you tear it, I'll tell you.
If you tear it apart, I don't know what you want to do with it, but you must know. This day you must be in court to come and say your story.
So if I don't come to give my story, then the final protection order is put in place.
Yes, yes.
So guys, don't allow your anger to control you. Whether you tear it apart, whether you... you got it, my friend.
And just go and defend yourself. I mean, I always say there's three sides of a story.
Yeah.
It's your side, it's my side, and it's the truth.
Yeah.
But the judge will know most now what is the truth and what
not.
But go and defend yourself.
Mm. Sure. This is really interesting. And is this pretty much the same processes with the Harassment Act as well?
Yes. But the Harassment Act is now not that long form, but it is the same type of form. If I can just tell you from my experience.
But I understand why you're laughing. The cases you guys deal with.
I had a complainant, but she was complaining about this person that is moving furniture 12 o'clock at night.
In a floor above hers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm laughing because I've had a similar incident.
I had a gentleman that came into my office, and he wants a protection order immediately because the tree, the neighbor, the leaves is falling into his yard. I'm so sorry that I'm laughing, but a protection order. Yeah, they want a protection order for that. That is why I'm saying don't make a joke of this.
Yes.
Be serious.
There's people that need these facilities.
Yes.
And you're wasting resources and time.
Exactly. So if you need the protection order on the Harassment Act, yes, go get it. But don't get it for simple things.
Yeah. Things that can be spoken over.
Yes.
Because you find sometimes I didn't even approach this neighbor.
Yeah.
Or I approached them once, and because it wasn't done, harassment. No.
No, it's not that. We can talk a little bit and discuss things. I mean, you just don't go and, okay, now I want a protection order because the cat is in my tree every evening.
So you want to be protected from the cat itself? As if I can reason with the cat as the owner.
Indeed, ne?
Sure,
no. But I'm just, my point is just be honest and be serious. Don't misuse this process because this is a very, very good process.
Speaking of being serious, Miranda, do you guys still get those... Oh, I almost used the wrong word on radio. But those nonsensical phone calls reporting unnecessary things and pranks.
Yes.
In this day and age.
In this day and age.
People still prank police.
Yes, they still do that. And the message that we now gave is that I could have saved a life.
Exactly.
I could have saved a life. But because of the fact that you
are on the phone.
On the phone for 2 minutes with me, with...
I'm missing another call.
I could have saved a life.
Yeah.
So please don't prank the police. Please use the 1-0-111 number in cases of emergency. 112 for the ambulance.
because like we're saying, people get mind blocks. I'm 34. I don't even know what the ambulance number is.
112.
Okay.
On any cell phone. 112.
Oh, yes. So how does it do? Does it locate a place closer to you?
Yes.
Oh.
The other thing that I also just might mention now is that the Department of Community Safety launches a Gauteng e-panic app.
Oh.
So download that because that service is excellent. I mean, there's specific things that you can look at, but if you press that panic button, it is not 2 seconds. Then you've got the phone call. How can we help you? It is Gauteng ePanic. They can download that. It's a very good app to have.
I'm glad you're making mention to that, Miranda, because even a partner or a wife that's being violated and they don't feel safe, they can just press that button. But now that we speak of that, actually, Miranda, I noticed the other day I went to the police station. And I noticed that there was, I think, like officers for GBV or something.
Yes.
And I know oftentimes that I don't just want to say women, but abused people
victims.
Are afraid. Exactly. Abused victims are afraid to speak up for various reasons.
Yes.
But one of them is that they don't know if, I don't know why I want a sense of privacy. Maybe it's because I'm in a vulnerable place.
Of course.
But they're afraid that if I go to the police, one, they're either going to laugh at me. Mm. Two, people are going to hear my business.
Mm.
So how do I really speak out?
This is really a very, very good question.
Mm.
I mean, I am a victim of rape, for an example.
Mm.
You go into the client service center. There's a lot of people standing there.
Mm-hmm.
You are traumatized. You are heartbroken. How are the police going to assist you now? I mean, I don't want to stand there in front of everybody and say, hello, I was raped now.
Exactly.
Every police station is having a victim empowerment room.
Okay.
There's a gender-based desk that is in the charge office, must be also apart from the general complaints,
mm-hmm.
and then the victim empowerment room. It is gen in another office.
Okay.
It's not in the CS, in the client service center.
Mm-hmm.
And victims of abuse, they have the privacy there to tell their story. We have a victim empowerment coordinator, domestic mm-hmm. violence coordinator, and that is members that is more trained, if I can say it like that, and they will handle cases like this.
So if I'm a victim, what do I do? Do I first go to the general public desk or do I go straight where I need to go?
You will have to inquire by the general desk and just say, I want to go to the victim empowerment room or I want to see the gender-based violence coordinator.
Okay. And so that you don't have to divulge your story in front of everyone.
No, you don't need to tell your story. You just need privacy. You can even just say, I need privacy. I have been abused and I want to discuss this in private. I mean, you have that absolute right
Oh, wow.
to be private.
I'm glad we're speaking on this. I see we are running out of time, so I want us to today we really just flew with it. But any last things you really want to bring to our attention with regards to this discussion, Mirinda?
This is a very good process, really. A protection order, according to me, is a very good thing to have.
Yeah.
Especially when you are a victim of abuse.
Mm.
So, if you have to apply for this, please do that.
Yes.
You have the right to be safe. Mm. You do not have the right to being abused. You don't have that right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, please make use of this process. The social crime coordinators at police stations are usually working with this.
Mm-hmm.
The police assist you. We can assist you with emotional support.
Yep.
We ask if we can take you to a place of safety.
Wow.
We can take you for medical attention. Mm. So the police can really assist a victim of abuse.
Sure. Okay, this is supposed to be a goodbye. But you mentioned medical attention as well.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how true this is. Somebody once said, look, even if you then refuse to open a case, whatever the case may be, go through the process of medical assessment.
Yes.
Because one of these days, you're going to need those records.
Yes. And I always say that. Even if you don't want to open a case now, just go to the doctor, your general practitioner, and say, please just note, this is my injuries, whatever.
Yeah.
But in very serious...
Because they'll keep the record.
Yes, they will keep it. And when you come back for the second time, we can go back to that injuries and we can complete it on this docket that we are going to open then.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
This was really informative, I must say. And it's the prayer of my heart that victims of any form of abuse do not sit on such issues.
Yes.
And if you are excusing your abuser, because sometimes because it's a psychological thing as well.
Yes, indeed.
If you're in a place where you're not really sure what's happening, just to be safe, like Mirinda said, you're not fighting when you're putting a protection order in place. You just need your rights to personal dignity protected.
Protection.
So at least go get a protection order and move past that stage.
Exactly.
Once
Thank
a person
so
violates
much.
It, then you know they mean business.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Oh, man. Thanks, Mirinda. God bless. And I believe you are in a mission right now. I saw in with your twins and you're heading out to work at almost 5 o'clock, Mirinda.
Thank you.
You really are cold for this. God bless.
You.
Until 2 weeks
you
time
too.
Then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our family is just getting bigger and bigger. Welcome to 657 AM.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer request by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.